Don't you hate it when there's conflict in your life? Just one relationship where the harmony's been, disrupted because of a harsh word or a misunderstanding. And it doesn't matter all the other great things you have going on in your life. It robs you of your joy. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at conflict in your life from a different perspective. And look, stay tuned, because in just a few moments, I'll be telling you about a special resource to help you lay hold of God's wisdom, a resource I'd love to send you. One of the reasons that we have conflict in our lives, not the only reason by any means, but one of the main ones, is because we brought it on ourselves. Let's do a quick stock take of your relationships, the ones that aren't going so well at the moment, the ones where the harmony of the relationship has been disrupted by conflict, by a misunderstanding, by a harsh word, and the longer it goes on, the more entrenched our position becomes, right? Okay, so thinking about those relationships honestly, how much of it was your fault? And even if up front it didn't start out as your fault, what opportunities have you allowed to slip by without stepping out and resolving the conflict? Psalm 34 verse 14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Short and sweet, but actually it's a verse that's jam-packed with wisdom. The first bit is pretty obvious. Depart from evil. But all too often, we use that as a bit of an excuse when it comes to conflict. Well, you know, it wasn't my fault. I didn't start it. It's up to them to say sorry. But God doesn't give us that luxury. Depart from evil and do good. Doing good is a proactive step. Doing good is grabbing hold of a situation and resolving it, even if in your mind you weren't the one that started it. Doing good is about seeking peace, and seeking involves getting up off your behind, figuring out a way through, and making it happen. Peace, I mean real peace, only happens when both parties are happy with the outcome. But whilst seeking peace is about being proactive, God takes it even one step further. He doesn't just want us to seek it out, he wants us to pursue it. The original Hebrew word there for pursue carries with it a sense of chasing it down, to harass, in a sense that you get it, to aim to secure it, to be ardent and persistent about it. I wonder when you consider just this one short verse and what it really means, the different light that it casts on your relationships and their conflicts. I love this. Just 11 words in that verse and yet powerful wisdom that can last for a lifetime. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So being the one who brings peace into a relationship, even though it requires humility and sacrifice and not getting your own way all the time, is a powerful witness of the love and the reconciliation that's available in Jesus Christ. Peacemakers, through their peacemaking, speak the love of Christ into the hearts of their enemies. And that, after all, is exactly what you and I are on this earth to do. But beyond being a proactive peacemaker, there's another way in which you and I can apply God's wisdom to our relationships. Sometimes the things that we do, albeit that they're innocent, albeit that they're not wrong per se, bring conflict and strife into a situation. Have you been there? And when the other person gets upset with you, you're left wondering, hang on, what did I do wrong? Yeah, we've all had that experience. And believe it or not, that very situation is something that God's word has some wisdom on. I love this. I love it how God has thought all these things through and poured out his wisdom through his word. Back when Christianity was being birthed out of Judaism in the first century, there was some conjecture and dispute over what people could eat and not eat. Pork, was it in or out? Were shellfish in or out? We take all that for granted today, but back then it was a big deal. Those who understood the grace and the freedom they now had in Christ understood that they were free to eat anything, but they were prone to criticize those who still thought the old way. And yet the Apostle Paul turns around to them and says this, Romans chapter 14, verse 13, "Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of another." So in other words, don't use your freedom to be a stumbling block to others. He goes on to say that if what we do is going to be a stumbling block to others in their faith, we should curb our freedoms for their sake. In a world that's so focused these days on individual freedoms, what a powerful message that is. When you think of it, much of the conflict in our lives arises out of our assertion of individual rights. But I'm entitled, is what we so often think. And yet, according to God's wisdom, there is something more important to the things that we think we're entitled to. And that thing is preserving peace in our relationships. Because after all, when you boil it all down, Romans chapter 14, verse 17, the kingdom of God isn't about food or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. How many times have you and I disrupted the peace when all along we could not only have kept the peace, but built up and encouraged those around us? Romans 14, 19. Let us therefore pursue what makes for peace and for mutual building up. So beyond just peace, you and I have the opportunity through the things we choose to do day by day, and importantly through the things we choose not to do or to say, to build others up, to encourage them, to strengthen them, to serve them by helping them to grow. What a privilege to be in a position where we can sacrifice our entitlements to serve others. When it comes to dealing with sinners, peace always comes at a price. And let's face it, we're all sinners. We all get it wrong. Pretty much never a day goes by where we don't think or do or say something that's not honoring to God. And even when we're doing the right thing, sometimes, especially because we are doing the right thing, other people, other sinners, take offense and cause strife. I mean, there was Jesus healing this man with a deformed hand, and the religious leaders criticized him because he was healing on the Sabbath. Luke chapter 13, verses 14 to 17. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath day untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from bondage this Sabbath day?" When he had said all these things, his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. Do you see? Do you see how easily God's wisdom, a wisdom born out of his great love for us, is used by sinners to criticize? Because what was going on here was that the power of God was upsetting the entrenched power structures of the religious leaders. Sometimes it's important to stand up for what's right. The thing you notice about Jesus, though, is that he never stood up for himself. He only ever stood up for other people. There's something in that for you and for me. As I said earlier, so often we're focused on our own personal rights, our own personal entitlements, our own personal freedoms, that we forget that's not what it's about. You and I are free in Jesus Christ. You and I have the most incredible peace and freedom. And what a privilege it is to lay down our freedoms, to expose ourselves to criticism, to serve other people with the love of God through Jesus Christ. What an incredible privilege. I just want to take a moment to remind you of that life application booklet that I've been telling you about over these past few weeks. It's called Wisdom to Transform Your Life, and it builds on the teaching in this series with some questions at the end of each chapter to help you to apply God's word right into your life. And right now, I'd love to send you a free copy of this life application booklet. To request yours, hop online at ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and contact details, and that free e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. And if you are able to stop by online, don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV on the homepage. You can watch this week's message on your smartphone, tablet, or computer. That's Christianity Works TV. But back to that free booklet again. It's called Wisdom to Transform Your Life. And that web address, in case you missed it, is ChristianityWorks.com. Hop online right now and check out all the other free resources and downloads like the Media Lounge. And may you be blessed mightily as you receive God's word into your heart. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.